Magnify you, Lord. Oh, Lord God, we exalt you, Lord, above every situation, Lord. Lord God, bless your people, Lord. Bless your people, Lord, as they prepare to enter into your sanctuary. Bless them, Lord. Lord, remember those that are on their way driving from their homes or from work, oh, Lord God. Lord Jesus, to be in service, Lord. Oh, Lord, bless them, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, wonderful Savior. Lord God, as they enter in with praise, as they enter in to worship and to magnify you, oh Lord God, to hear your word, Lord, ask that you would bless them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we magnify you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord God. Thank you, Savior.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
have your way, Lord. Have your way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
We'll be
thank
careful
you,
to give you the praise and to give you the glory.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You said, whoever shall call on your name shall be saved.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We're calling on your name, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We want to be saved.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank
we want to be found as saints and not
thank
sinners.
Thank you, Jesus.
We want to be found as
thank
faithful,
you,
not transgressors.
Hallelujah.
Lord God, and so we seek you, Lord, for your guidance. We seek you, Lord God, Lord, as we go forth to do your will in the name of Jesus. We'll be careful to give you praise. We'll be careful to give you glory. Hallelujah. And to tell of your goodness in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wherever you are, just tell the Lord thank you. You might be driving down the street. You may be at work. You might be getting ready for service, but just begin to tell him thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God. He's worthy to be told thank you. He's worthy. Welcome to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace, located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. Sunday praise and worship, I feel the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God, I get excited about him. I get more excited than I do watching football or basketball or anything else. You know, those are people at work. I've never met an athlete that, and I have met athletes. I've been in business meetings and stuff and met, but you know what? They don't get excited about my job. Like I see people getting excited about theirs and their stats and everything. I do have some stats myself, and you may have some stats too of your accomplishments. And you know what? They don't get excited and cheer you on like you cheer them on. I know it's a sports thing. I get that. I'm just saying, there's nothing that should be more exciting than Jesus Christ and your soul salvation. That's what I'm talking about. Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m. and prayer. We're here praying at 8:45. Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. And I hope that you join it, because you know preaching is one thing, teaching is another, and I love to teach the word of God. And so when you're taught and you understand what it's about, then it's easier to understand what is being preached or someone is not preaching the correct message. Listen, we believe the Bible is the word of God. Therefore, we are faithful. We're bold. We believe the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the word of God. Again, thank you for joining the online service. If you're looking for a church home, growth and ministry, I want to invite you to join us, grow with us, and be blessed with us. May 30th is fastly approaching, if the Lord say the same. And you know, if you pay attention to what's happening in the Middle East, you just don't know. That's why I say, if the Lord will. But on that day, we're going to begin our Pentecost service, SoCal Pentecost, that's what it's called. And so we want to invite you to join in with us. That's, you know, visit our website, connectingtruth.org, connectingtruth.org, for more information. And we're going to be consecrating and fasting during that time from May 30th, mark your calendars, mark this date, because no matter where you are, what continent you're on, you can consecrate with us and be praying for us that the Lord's will is done. That is the most important thing that there is. When they asked, when the disciples, and then they went to Jesus and they said, listen, John taught his disciples and how to pray. And you know, and so teach us to pray. We want to know what to do too. And I hope you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness and you want to know what to do as well. So he's told them to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth. Important part, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to think about that. Whatever is going on in heaven is being done a specific way. Whatever is being done in heaven is being done according to what God's desire is. The angels are not saying, I don't know what to do. The angels are not saying, and no one else there is saying, you know, they are showing, what's the emoji face where they put their hand over their face? Like, I don't, you know, oops, shaking my head. I don't, you know, IDK and all that stuff. Listen here. We're fasting and praying because we want God to bless in this service. We want souls to be saved. We want souls to be saved. Yes, people to be filled with the Holy Ghost according to the will of God, not according to the will of man, but the will of God. And so therefore, fasting and praying is important. Some things only come by fasting and praying. I hope that you have a fast day set aside once a week, at least once a week, that you're fasting and consecrating unto the Lord. We're going to be consecrating from May 1st through the 30th. May 1st, that's 30 days through the 30th. And that consecration is no meat. No meat. No meat. Chicken? No. Fish? No. No meat. But Pastor, fish is, no, it's not. Fish is meat. And we can have a whole discussion about that after May 30th. But from May 1st through the 30th, do not eat fish, okay, or any other meat, all right? Just comply with obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what the Bible says. Just obey. If it's right, you don't have to understand it. Just obey what is being said. Obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And so we're going to be consecrating during that time and seeking the Lord. And I'm going to touch on this consecration more as we arrive to the month of May. It's important to understand the benefits that are within a consecration, the benefits that are within the fast. And so until then, at this time, we're going to have an opening scripture. It's going to be followed by a song, followed by a song. And so just fasten your seatbelt and enjoy the Lord. God bless you.
Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord.
The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Love.
you, Jesus. The blood that was shed on Calvary for each of us, it will never lose its power. God bless you. Thank you for that selection. Truly, we thank and praise God. We are here to worship and magnify the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in the beauty of holiness. And note that that blood is still flowing today. If you have not applied the blood in your life, see, Israel, when they were in captivity, they were instructed to take the blood and put it on the doorposts of their homes, and the death angel would pass by. Let's stop and look at that for a moment, that when they were in their home and they applied the blood so that the death angel would pass by, they also was in worship. They didn't apply the blood, and while the blood was applied, they were in there having a romantic time with whoever. They went in there having a party or anything like that. They were consecrated unto the Lord. That meant that everyone that was under the blood was sanctified. Everyone within that home were sanctified in that moment. If the blood has not been applied in your life, I want to encourage you to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, because that is how the blood of Christ is applied. And we're not going to go any further into that right now, because we're going to go into the Word of God. So I want to direct your attention, and that is the Word of God, if I was going to go there. Listen, Matthew's the sixth chapter. Matthew's the sixth chapter. And this is very important. This is very dear to my heart this morning. My heart is stirred. It's very much stirred. And so that's the sixth chapter, beginning at the 19th verse. And you can use your phone. You have your Bible. But let's make sure that we have the scripture itself. Let's in the Word of God. It says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If you are focused, you have one vision in mind. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore, the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. This is Matthew 6, 19 through 24. I'm at the 24th verse. No man can serve two masters. If you can highlight it, if you can, and if you're using a device, my device will allow me to highlight what I'm reading, or make a mental note if you can't do it any other way. But it says, no man can serve two masters. For he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You only could do this with one. You're not going to love two masters. You're going to love one. You're going to hate the other. in any relationship. You know, you're looking for that one that is going to love you the way you want to be loved. You're looking for that one that is dedicated to you, not a ride. It's a ride and die, not a ride or. You want them with you. They're going to stick with you through thick. They're going to stick with you through the thin. They're going to correct you when you are not right. You're going to listen to them because you love them. And you're going to live happily ever after. Okay? That's your happy ever after. All of us is looking for a happily ever after. So we love the other or despise the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve yourself. Remember, he starts out, lay not up for yourself, which is selfishness. Don't get all wrapped up in my own self desires, because it is a slippery slope. I've got to feed myself. Romans, the 6th chapter and the 16th verse says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Whoever you yield yourself to, that is your master. I don't care how much scripture you know, how much time you spend on your knees, sitting on your buttocks, praying, whatever position you're in, standing, driving at it, whatever you serve is your master. That marinade for a moment. Whether of sin, if you obey sin, I don't care how much reasoning you put behind it, if it does not line up with the word of God, you need to check it and ensure that it lines up with his word. Or of obedience unto righteousness. The thought this morning, or the question is, who are you serving? Now, I want you to know that I'm sticking, Pastor Carl Henderson is sticking with the God that I know. That is the God that created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the same God that is establishing or has established a place for me in the end. I'm speaking personally for myself. I'm sticking with the God that I know. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That is everything within me. My kidneys is going to serve the Lord. My heart is going to serve the Lord. My lungs are going to serve the Lord. Everything that is within this temple that I dwell in is going to be dedicated and has been dedicated and will remain dedicated unto the Lord. Then when this temple enters into the brick and mortar place, it is also dedicated unto the Lord, so that it goes from my flesh into the temporal. When I get into my car, it is also dedicated unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When I enter into a relationship, that relationship, the principles that I practice are also going to be dedicated unto the Lord. Because the Bible says, it is very plain and it's very clear that whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servant you are. Mighty God. I feel like running up the aisle. If you're serving sin unto death, that is your master. And you made a well-informed decision when you did it. Or of obedience unto righteousness. I pray that you are making a well-informed decision right now. This message is for everyone listening today, tomorrow, and whenever it is heard. The message has no respect of person. So you can be scholarly. You can have extensions after your name, titles, whatever you want to call it. You can be upper class, middle class, lower class, whatever society may classify you as. No matter what your background is, who your parents are or who your parents are not, this message is for you. It doesn't matter if you was born in church. I've been in church. My pastor, my dad was a deacon, and my mother was a missionary. It don't matter if you are not living a life, or if you choose to live a life that is different. That is your master. Each of us is making choices at this moment. Right now, you're making a choice. You're thinking. You're hearing what is being said, and you're rehearsing certain things, you're traveling down certain paths, you're thinking about what is being said. Each of us is making a choice at this moment. One of the most important choices is who you are going to serve today. Yesterday is gone. No matter what you did yesterday, it is history. It's gone. You cannot go back and change it. You can't go back and change what you did when you got up at 8:30 this morning. You can't change it. You're dealing with the here and now. So each of us is making a choice of whom we're going to serve going forward. Some people are going to leave church and rush out to be with someone that they should not be with. My prayer is that that's not you. Gonna run out and grab something. You know, I've seen this for myself where as soon as service was out, I saw someone rush to go and get a drink. They couldn't wait till service was over to indulge. And there are other things that people do, but we're talking about if whatever you yield yourself to is your master, it has a lock on you. It has a control on you. You can say, well, I can stop it at any time. Well, from my personal experience of those yesteryears, I said that too. And it took God to deliver me from that thing that had a lock on me. Okay? Even though I made that statement and said, well, I could, I found out I couldn't, and I was just wasting money flushing stuff. Because then I turn around and go buy it again. There comes a time where you have to make a sound decision and put a stop to what is going on. What are you doing with the rest of your life? That life today, the life of this week, if the Lord tarry, a month from now, if that's his will. Some do not have a plan of action except to feed their flesh. I'm going to feed my flesh. That's all they're thinking about. I'm going to have a good time. And that's fine. You can have a good time. Matter of fact, the Bible encourages us to have a good time. Yes, it does. Church. Growing up and being around church now for a little while. And so you have a church that will encourage you to have a good time in the Lord. Celebrate good times. Come on, you know. Have a good time. The cornerstone is a celebration piece. Because see, every building has a cornerstone. And when they lay the cornerstone, what do? They celebrate. Every bridge has a cornerstone. It is the piece that holds the pressure and the weight of everything together. And without it, things fall apart. It cannot stand. It cannot endure. That's why it is celebrated. All right? It's a celebration. When we come to service, it is a celebration. Yes. That service is a celebration. The Bible said that if one sinner, one person, when I repented of sin, when you repented of sin, there was a party that was thrown in your honor. There was. There was dancing, rejoicing, that singing. There was praise going on because you said, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. And I'm going to change sides. I'm going to move out of the mess that I'm in. Because I know it's messy because I feel messy at the end of the day. I feel messy when I've done my due. I'm messy. And I don't want to feel that way. When you change your mind, you had a change of heart. There was a celebration that went on in your honor. There was a gigantic, I don't even know how large this celebration was because it was not, the Bible doesn't measure it out for us. It just says that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels for one that repents. There's one. One, there's rejoicing for the one. The one is so important. People get excited about the many. But the masses will be lost where few will be saved. The Bible is plain about that. You want to be part of the few. In order to be part of the few, you must make a well-informed decision on whom you are going to serve. Many individuals are saying, I believe in God. I don't have to ask, do you believe in God? Because many will say, yes, I believe in God. As a matter of fact, the devil believes in God. Okay? But are you serving God? This is what makes the difference. This is where the line is drawn. Are you serving God or serving self? Well, let me put it this way. Are you serving capital G-O-D or are you serving little G-O-D? You, little G-O-D, yourself. Who is on the top of your list? Is it the Lord God Almighty? We used to say, the Lord God Almighty has brought us out. Or is it me, myself, and I? Am I serving me, myself, and I? When others ask me, well, you don't know what, you know, we have all kinds of excuses. If you have an excuse or ready to generate one, then that means you are serving me, myself, and I. The word of God is cut and dry. It's plain, simple. There's no gray area. If someone told you there's a gray area in God, they're lying to you. There's no gray area. Now, this is not a complicated relationship. I like watching, you can just about time it when you're watching a movie on Netflix or Hulu or Max or Tubi or whatever. And you can just about time it when someone is having a conversation and they say, the lady or the gentleman asked the other individual about their relationship and then they say, it's complicated. There's nothing complicated about that relationship. Just say, I don't want to talk about it. Just say, I don't want to explain it. They could do that in the movies, but they don't. They like using the word complicated, but not with God. It is not complicated. I believe it's in Proverbs, and I could be wrong. Bible scholars, correct me if I am. That's fine. But the Bible says, a fool shall not err. That's how simple this is. You can't err in this. I like what Dr. C said. He said that in order to fail, you have to put forth effort. It's easier to do what is right than it is to do what is wrong. Now, I can give you a scripture to back that up. When Paul had received letters to go and arrest people for calling upon the name of Jesus, for using the name of Jesus, for preaching in his name and all of that, but after they were told not to, that as he was on the road to Damascus, he saw, and those that was with him, there was a vision that occurred, and he heard these words, it's hard to kick against the prick. What you're doing is difficult. and it's painful even for him. It's hard to kick against a prick. It's hard to put forth that effort to do what is wrong. But yet, many will plow their way through it to do it, even though the end result is detrimental. The children of Israel experienced the power of God, just like us here today, just like many that are gathering, those that are listening, those that will be listening. Some have experienced the power of God. They have been delivered by the power of God. His grace, his mercy, his goodness appeared one day. It was already set in motion, but you met goodness and goodness led you to repentance. Mercy. But that wasn't enough for the children of Israel. If you're not careful, you will serve the little God, little G-O-D. Like the church in the wilderness, a lapse of priority began to occur. A lapse of priorities. What is priority? Are you prioritizing your life with God? Sanctification don't take away from success. It adds to success. And we'll see that later as we approach the month of May, because I'm going to talk about this. Sanctification causes us to prioritize. The thing that we would do, we're not doing any longer. So therefore, we have some free time to apply things and put things in order, but are we doing that? Like the church in the wilderness, a lapse of priorities and a lapse of true worship. There is a shift. Now, and I'm doing my best not to go ahead of myself here. Because for some, they continue to be complacent, to compromise the kingdom of heaven, the principles. This is what the people of, or the children of Israel did once they were delivered. They have received the deliverance. And as Moses was delayed, the Bible, and we'll read that in just a moment. They thought the pastor was absent. They thought the pastor was unconscious of what was going on. They thought the pastor was so tied up in doing something else that the pastor could not see. I'm here to expose that the pastor, overseer, the overseer of God's flock, the overseer of those that is under his watchful eye, is not blind to what is going on, not naturally or spiritually. The Bible tells us in Psalms 121:4, it says, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Now, whereas the pastor may be asleep naturally, and I hope they get a good rest, they're yet aware when God wakes them up, shows them something, brings awareness into their spirit of something that is occurring, and you're not even aware. You, the individual or individuals that God may be speaking about, are not even aware that it is being seen, that there is an observation that is going on, and God has brought it to the awareness of the pastor, the physical pastor that you see, okay? And so now the pastor's sleep, his sleep has been broken, her sleep has been broken, whomever God is going to use for that mission, that now they have to start dealing with that before they can rest again. The Bible tells us in Exodus 32, chapter 32, verse 1. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, get up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses," I didn't know who Moses was, "but as for this Moses," you know who your pastor is, "but as for this pastor," as for this man of God, "the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, We don't know what did come of him, because he went and God called him into the mountain. God called him to go and to do something. The people did not see their pastor, but the pastor saw them. You see, what they thought Moses, the physical man, was away. The true pastor, the shepherd, saw the flock and what they were doing. They went to someone that they felt comfortable talking to. You have to be careful going to others and talking to them about what you think need to be corrected or what you think needs to go on inside the church or outside the church. You may talk to someone that said, well, I believe in God and I can give you instructions that says it's okay, but let's go on here. So they went to someone that felt comfortable talking to and who would sympathize with what they're saying. And Aaron said unto them, this is who they went to, Aaron, break off the gold earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them unto me. Bring me the gold. And all the people, they listened to what he was saying and they broke off the earrings and that was in their ears and they brought it to Aaron. And he received it and he fashioned it. So Aaron had skill in the art of fashioning and molding different things. And after he had made of a molten calf, he said, these be your gods. This is what you have to obey now. Remember, whoever and whatever you yield yourself to is your God. Is your God. And so he made a molten calf and said, these be your gods. O Israel, which brought thee up out. This, not the true and living God, the one that brought you out, but these here that we just made is your God. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. See, when you start worshiping other gods, you build an altar, you build a place of dedication unto that thing. No matter what that thing is, in your home, within your heart, you build an altar to that. And that's where you go to. You go to that altar and you pray about that thing. You meditate on that thing. You feel a certain way about that thing. And so you go and you visit it there. You've got to remove the altar that's in the secret place. The altar that is in the home. The altar that is in the car, the altar that is within your heart. And so the Bible tells us in the fifth verse, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. Tomorrow, let's just use it this way, tomorrow, Sunday. And we're going to gather together tomorrow. And we're going, it's a service unto the Lord. After they yield to selfishness and the compromise, the standards of, and compromised the standards of sanctification, this is what they did. The Bible said, and they rose up in the morning, early in the morning, got together, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. I hope you brought an offering. I hope you brought a peace offering as well to support the ministry that you're under, the ministry wherever you are. You ought to be supporting it. However, they went to church and they heard the message, but they anxiously and eagerly, without hesitation, did the very thing in the service. They did what was asked of them in the service. But after they was finished, listening to the message, after they heard the songs of worship, after they heard what was being uttered by the minister, they got up and they went out to do what they wanted to do rather than what God asked them to do. Are you doing what God asked you to do? Are you doing what you want to do? Who are you serving? Because whatever we yield ourselves to is our master. Jesus wanted those listening to clearly understand that this is a fundamental truth. The foundation of this belief, the proper behavior and reasoning for kingdom acceptance and kingdom living. Ultimate dependence is not based upon what you think. It's based upon the word of God. However, those necessities that you embrace cannot save your life. The immediate pharmaceutical, mystical gratification are temporal, controlling, and deadly. Relationships that I'm saved now and I have the power. Look, you're not a Powerpuff kid. That's one. And you're not a part of the planet power people. You know, where you control fire, earth, and all that stuff. No, you can't do that. You're to yield yourself unto God, who can do all things. And we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us as we yield ourselves unto him. People are dying spiritually and naturally. Prophecy is being fulfilled right in front of the people that say they believe in God. There are prophecies that are fulfilling across the land. Prophecies that are fulfilling around the world. And we're watching it, but we're so caught up in looking for something new and trying to feed our flesh that we're missing. That's how the rapture, the church is going to be caught up so quickly. You won't know that the church has been caught up until afterwards. You won't know at the time it's happening. You'll know afterwards. Okay? Now, those of us that are caught up will know in that instance. And that instance is the moment and twinkling of an eye. But those that are caught up afterwards, those that are not caught up, and there will be an afterwards that will occur for the children of Israel. Let's put it that way. All right. You die spiritually and naturally. There is a life with no power, a life, no prayer, no power, no praise, no power. Things start to fade, start to die off, picking up other habits, doing what other people do. No, do what you're instructed to do, what God says to do. 2 Timothy 3:2-5 says, "For man shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." When you're 40 years old, you ought to honor your mother and father. But this disobedient to parents is parents of the gospel. Unthankful, unmerciful, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, and content, fierce despisers of those that do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I got to feed the flesh. I got a hunkering for a bite of cheese. No, listen. After a while, you have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Sin will have you with a form of godliness, because you think nobody know where you are or what you're doing or what you have allowed to creep into your life. And so it creates a form of godliness. So I go to church and I'm there on time. I go to church and I'm faithful to Bible class and I'm faithful to regular worship. And I do my part, but you have a form of godliness. Where is the power of God at? Where's the power of God? Well, Pastor, the power is what you know. The power is among his people. He said that he told them to go back to Jerusalem. The apostles weren't the only one in the upper room. There was out of the 500 and those that were in the upper room, the 120 that obeyed what God was saying and went back receive the reward. And only a few of them were apostles, but the rest of them were disciples. Well, all of them was disciples because they were all following what was being said. Are you following what is being said? Well, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doeth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Okay. Natural allegory here, natural example. But lay stuff up in heaven. Just like you lay, you put stuff in Bank of America or whatever bank you're using, online, not online, whatever bank you're using, you're putting money away that it'd be tucked away safe. What about what you need to tuck away that is accountable in glory? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The 24th verse, and I'm coming to a close with this. No man can serve two masters. You can't do it. No matter how you think you can, it's impossible. That's why people are kooky. That's why people are weird. That's why people are messed up. That's why people are double-minded. They're trying to serve two masters. Whoever you yield yourself to, that's your master. Now, let's be clear. Let me be clear about something as I come to a close with this exhortation. There's only one acceptable way to serve the Lord. No one is exempt unless they are serving another master. Now, if you are serving the Lord, this is what God expects. But if you're not serving the Lord, then I don't expect you to do what I would do as in serving the Lord. No one is exempt unless they are serving another master. Then there is there's no expectation of you being holy. I don't expect you to be holy and you're not serving the Lord. You're not holy, period. That's the bottom line to it. You could go to church. You could actually walk through the church doors. But if you are not serving the Lord, then there's no expectation. No, thank you for visiting, but there's no expectation. Kingdom living is just that. It's kingdom living. Now, there is a universal law. Everyone has access to the universal law. And this is what gets people in trouble. This is where people are messed up because they think that because of the universal law that God has established that I got a blessing. We hear celebrities thanking God for their blessing. We hear people talking about different things that they have received and they thank God for it. And that's good. Let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, everything. But it does not mean that you're sanctified. It does not mean that you're serving the Lord. And many of them will tell you, I believe in God, but I'm not like that. I'm not with that lifestyle. I have a different lifestyle. Period. Different lifestyle. I'm gonna go here with it. Some of those people that have a different lifestyle is into their street pharmacists. They're not licensed pharmacists, they're street pharmacists. Some of them are licensed. Some of them are sex traffickers. And when they on television getting awards, they will say, I thank God for, you know, the man upstairs, and you better not tell them that they don't have a relationship with God. Nope. Some of them are liars, some of them are into so many different things that is unbelievable, unbelievable. But they're confused because universal law says this, Jeremiah 33:25 says, thus said the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth. So see, there is universal laws that are in effect. And people don't think about the universal law. They just thinking that, well, God is with me. No, there's a universal law that God has established. Yes, you ought to thank him for the universal law. You ought to thank him because that's how many are sustained. There's a universal law. That's Jeremiah 33:25. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, I turned and saw under the sun that the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor yet bread to the wise. nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. Listen to that. Time and chance happens to them all. There may be someone that is skilled above you, but you meet someone and they know someone and they introduce you to that person and they give you the opportunity at your level. Chance happens to them all. You don't know when chance is going to come, when chance is going to knock at the door. When it does, you have to be prepared to walk through it. Because all it was is a testimony that I had a chance and I blew it. But we may not add the blew it part to it, but I'm adding it. I had a chance and I blew it. I monkeyed around with it. I didn't take it seriously. I didn't have my priorities were tainted because of other stuff. I had all kind of excuses. And so therefore it was only a chance that came about, but it didn't manifest into anything. You ought to be against that. You ought to work hard against that one. Listen here. Matthew 5:24 says, but I say unto you, love not your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them. I'm talking about universal law. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise upon the evil and the good. The sun, we are in sunny California, and it don't matter what lifestyle you have right now. God calls the sun to rise. He did. The sun is not just shining upon the saints of God. It's shining upon those that are doing all kind of things that are offensive to God as well. And he sent the rain yesterday, and it rained upon the just and the unjust. Universal law is in effect. That's just a few scriptures dealing with universal law. Just a few. Let me give this one, Galatians 6 chapter. Whatsoever man soweth, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you apply yourself to that thing, you're going to reap the benefits of it. But if you do not, then you don't reap the benefits of that. No matter how you might desire to reap those benefits, the universal law said it's not going to happen. And if it did happen, it would last only for a moment unless you did something and made a drastic change as you should so that you do well and be accepted. Now, what is acceptable unto the Lord? Deuteronomy 6, talking about serving the Lord. Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that love, we are to love the Lord our God, thy God, with all thy heart. How am I going to love him? With all my heart. Do you love him with all your heart? Now, if for any instance, even for a split moment, that you thought about something else that you cared about and then said, well, I should love the Lord all my heart, then it says you don't love him with all your heart. You have unresolved issues that need to be dealt with. It says with all your soul, with all that might, just being for real right now, because when we enter into the kingdom of God, when we transform from what is mortal to immortality and we enter in the kingdom of God, that will not enter in. Only those that love the Lord with all their heart and all their soul are the ones that are going to stand in his presence. It's already implied that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, all right? So if I love the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, then I'm going to keep his commandments. That's without question. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. I'm not talking about quoting scriptures, memorization. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about application. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest at the table, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign. And you get it. You get what's being said. You get it. Everything centers. He is the center of everything. Everything evolves of our life evolves around. Leviticus 19 says, and the Lord, the first verse, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children, the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall love, you shall be holy, for I'm holy. I, the Lord God, am holy. So see, if you're going to be accepted by the Lord, if you're going to do it God's way, this is what he's requiring of all of us. He requires this of all of us. Who are you serving? This is not just a message for this morning, for April 14th, 2024. It's not just a message for this. Are you serving sovereign God, Jesus Christ? This message governs kingdom living. The Bible tells us in Revelation, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto thee these things in the church. I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the spirit and the bride says, come, and let him that hears say, come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, I'm not adding nothing here. I'm giving it to you raw. Not adding no sugar to it. Didn't add no honey for the taste or nothing like that. This is it. God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So if you're going to add something to the word of God to compromise it, to make people feel comfortable with God don't understand and God accepts everything that we do, you know, and you're altering the scriptures to fit your lifestyle, there's some things that's going to be added to you as well. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. So see, you got to be careful what you do with God's word. You got to be careful. And in your lifestyle, see, if you serve the Lord, serve God, big G, then what you do is going to be based upon his word, application of his word, application. But if it's little g, then it's that I can do whatever and I can change things and I can do it my way. Me, myself, and I, and my friends. I'm going to take away part of your part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. We have to be careful with what we do. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Bible tells us this. It gives us these instructions from Psalm. This says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. Mighty God, bless you, Lord Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy, Lord, your kindness. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for each one that have given ear this morning, Lord God, and as they yield themselves unto you, we say thank you. Lord, and those that have not made a decision, and that's their excuse. I've not made a decision so they can continue on. We pray that you would stir their hearts up, Lord, so that they will make a well-informed decision and serve you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I want to encourage you, if you have not applied the blood in your life, again, it's time. It's time to make a change. It's time to serve the Lord. Serve him like you know to serve him. Not with excuses, not with compromise, not with, oh, I'm human and I've got to do these things. No, you don't. One thing you do, that you will do, that you must do, and that's by appointment, is appointed every man to die at least once. So that's something you're going to do. But how you do it makes a difference. The Bible says, as a tree falls, that's how it lays. Will you fall in righteousness, or will you fall in unrighteousness? Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Give God your whole heart. Give him your mind. Give him your body. Give him your soul. Sell out to God. Be 100 unto him, because he is certainly 100 to each of us. God bless you. Continue to pray for us as we're praying for you. In Jesus' name, God bless you, each one that have tuned in and have taken time out of their busy schedule. We thank God for you. You know, sometimes I look over to see what's on the monitor. I see Maria and Lady V and Yaman and Tron and Sister Alfia. God bless you. Just to name a few. Continue to pray for us. We're working on our video and testing it out today so that we can also go live stream again. And so continue to pray for us as we're praying for you in Jesus' name. Remember, May 1st through May 30th, we're consecrating unto the Lord. Now, during that consecration, we're not praying, asking God to give us tangible things. But if you listen to the message that I'm going to present at the start of the consecration, you'll understand. All right. God bless you.